Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me as usual, it's the wonderful Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi, Bellini Tunes. What you doing, honey pie?
Just settling in for a Roni recap. Everyone, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappens. You get access to our videos with Crappens on Demand. We have a weekly bonus episode, all sorts of fun stuff. So go check that out. And without any further ado, let's just like dive into this because people have been talking about Roni for the past week, not necessarily in a good way. A lot of people were upset about the prank. Betrayed the trust of the audience quite a bit. You know, we were on Jeff Lewis earlier today, and we didn't really talk too much about the fact that, like, Jeff went on to Watch What Happens Live and was like, yeah, I don't like pranks. And I think this was bad, and I think this was wrong. And, I think it was a bad move of this show to build to – it's okay to have a prank, but the way that they framed it on this episode – I think that they're gonna have to do a lot of work to get that goodwill back from the audience that they've squandered.
Well, I mean, it's not just the way that they framed it on the show; it's that they based the whole season on this one thing. It's like coming up this season, this thing happens, and so people are like, "Oh my god, this show has some life in it." And it turned out they do not. It was just a joke. But you know, whatever. It's like
whatever.
We move on. You know what I mean? Like I can't. It's too boring to keep talking about. Over and over again, you know, we've got new things, but this is the show that never learns its lesson. As we know, I've said it 9 million times this year. So they're not going to learn their lesson from this. Even in the moment, they are going to add on to this and make it more of a storyline by changing it and making it that Bryn never even knew it was a,
it was actually, I was surprised actually by the turn that this took. It's like, I get it now. Like, in some ways, it's kind of brilliant what they did. Like, they got us all mad. They got the audience so mad about this prank. And then we find out that there's way more, not way more that's interesting, but way more to the story. So, basically, we come back to the dodgeball court. And, you know, they're like, oh my God, all this stuff about this rumor that's going around. And, you know, because Rebecca has walked off, has stormed off, allegedly furious, and Aaron has gone after her. And now Aaron and Rebecca walk back. And Si's like, I don't even know what to do with my facial expressions. Oh my God. And then Rebecca's like, guys, so Gavin does not know about this. I told him the reason why I'm feeling sick is because my diva cup keeps falling out and I'm doing weird things to my body, but that's it.
So Rebecca's like, so you guys have to just zip your fucking leaky mouths, okay? And Jenna's like, wait, so your husband, he doesn't know that you're, what's, she's like, it's early, it's just 5 weeks. So who told who? Aside from this, Aaron, which is a whole other situation, I'm very, very, very upset with Aaron. Very, very, very upset with Aaron. Nobody from that 70s show is ever going to be nice to Aaron again. I can promise you that much.
But I would never say anything to anyone that you're pregnant, because I know you're not supposed to say anything until 3 months. But that being said, I did tell my mother and about 5 other people off camera. But that's it. That's all I've spoken to.
So, Bryn, did you tell them? And Bryn's like,
no, I mean, I didn't tell him you're pregnant. I just told him I heard other things. Beep, beep, boop, boop, bop, bong, boop, boop, boop. Mostly you told him I need bottle. I'm sick.
Yeah, I tell people that you do like a Russian roulette with like other names. That's like, what you okay. told Gav Gav to have fun fun.
Interesting. So rumors are going around then? And she's like, yeah, that you and Gav Gav like to have fun fun.
It's less offensive if I just say things twice. Gav Gav, fun fun. Slut slut. See? It's great.
So Jenna tells us, Jenna's like upset because she's like, you know, Bryn likes to embellish, you know, and I'm just like bummed that she's like gossiping about someone's marriage that could like do potential damage to their marriage. And I went through that because I was at it on page 6. I have trauma. So then Rebecca is basically like,
hey, Bryn, you're strangely quiet. Bryn's like, I'm just like having my thoughts, Becky.
So then Aaron's like, okay, Rebecca, you should just like tell them. Like tell them. It's like time. It's like so hilarious. Just like tell them. So it comes out. Rebecca's baby, like, guys, we're fucking with you.
We just wanted to see who the leaky pigeons are, and now we know who the leaky pigeons are. It's you guys. It's Bryn. And so they start cracking up, and Aaron's like, okay, here's how it happened. Last Tuesday, Rebecca and I are having lunch, and a light bulb goes off in Rebecca's head, and she says, I think it's hard in a big group when there's a leaky pigeon. Who's the leaky pigeon?
Shouldn't it be leaky pitcher, by the way? It drives me nuts that the entire episode they keep saying leaky pigeon. Like, a leaky pigeon is really actually, of course, it would be Rebecca Minkoff to mention, to create a concept of a leaky pigeon.
She just loves leaks. Even she even projects it onto animals in, you know.
How about scenes. A pigeon that just has a pigeon with diarrhea just flying around like Rebecca? Jeez. Well,
it started with the pigeon thing from fucking Uva. It's just pigeon, pigeon this, pigeon that. You're all pigeons. And so now they've turned it into the pigeon is leaking. So now we've got leaky pigeons. So Rebecca's like, guys, we just came up with a really funny, harmless rumor that she's pregnant. Maybe just you just didn't know like who the dad is. And so Aaron's like, yeah. And then the following day, I go to lunch with Jessel and Bryn, and I find the perfect moment to drop the news. And it was when I dropped the news. It's like, whoa, good one, Aaron. So then Raquel is, so we see the conversation, right? We've already seen it, but Bryn's like, is she pregnant again? Who's the dad? And Aaron's like, it's not even a joke. They're not sure yet. She had one night, like a crazy night, guys. It was just one crazy night.
Yeah. Basically, it's like everything we saw last week. The only new thing that we see is that when Abe, the babe, and Aaron go out to a double date with Mal and Raquel, Aaron actually tells Raquel that there's a prank going on. So Raquel actually knew. I think that was, oddly enough, a pretty nice thing because, like, she's the new girl. So she's like, look, I'm thinking she's telling Raquel because she's like, I'm going to spare her, you know? So then, you know, they're just talking about, like, the seeds were planted. The rumors are going to spread far and wide. So now we're back to dodgeball. And Jessel's like, I don't know, guys. That was, like, kind of a fucked up lie. And so I was like, yeah, that was, like, really fucked up, guys. So they're like, you know, Erin has this look on her face. She's so proud. She's like, taught people a lesson. And, you know, the audience is just like, I can't believe we fell for this bullshit.
But also, and Uba says it the best, when she says, if I were Erin and Rebecca comes up to me and says, let's find Leaky Pigeon, I would be like, girl, I don't think I'm the one you should be going to, because I'm like the leaky leak of all the Leaky Pigeon, because Erin is the worst. I mean, Erin ties with Bryn as being of the worst of like, oh my God, how are you feeling about her? Here's how she's feeling about you.
Well, also, like, Erin has spent the whole season.
I won't tell anybody. She's pregnant. I mean, the whole thing was Erin, sorry, two recaps in a day. I'm like, Erica! The whole thing was Erin leaking it in the first place. How is everybody else in trouble?
Exactly. Well, the thing is that, like, Erin's whole thing with Bryn is that Bryn always goes and gossips and puts her own spin on things, and it makes people look shitty. So the whole purpose of this prank is to out Bryn as someone who does this, but it's Erin who does it. I mean, Bryn does it too, doesn't exonerate Bryn, but Erin does it, and she does it a lot.
Yeah.
And this whole episode is actually exposing that Aaron does add sizzle or has lies by omission and lets people infer things. So Aaron's like, just let the record stand. I would never say someone was pregnant if they asked me not to. Because guess what? I have a secret about almost every person here. It's like, well, you should have just stopped the first sentence. Why are you saying that? Because then Uba's like, oh, no, you don't have a secret about me. Do not lie. Do not lie. If you do, tell it to the group right now. You lying bitch. I know for 100% sure you do not have a secret about you. Basic bitch who drinks water from glasses.
She's like, okay, I don't have a secret on you then. She goes, okay, so don't say everyone. And Uba's like, what is she doing? What is she, the mafia, you know? And Rebecca's like, well, I think this just teaches us all a lesson. If you want to keep a secret, don't tell these two. And she points to Jessel and Bryn. And so Bryn's like, oh, yeah, you need new material. Like, you need better jokes. What are you so defensive at? She's still not even come at you like you deserve. You just went and told everybody that she's, like, a total whore. Like, yeah, what do you, you have no room to be defensive right now, ma'am.
Yeah. And then when later on we find out that Bryn knew it was a prank, so she was adding lots of sizzle to this prank, hoping to get other people being like, wow, Becca's a slut. So Bryn is basically like, why are you testing us? Okay, this isn't SAT prep. Like, unless you're in an Ivy League school, you don't need to test people, let alone friends. I'm like, I think.
Oh, honey.
See, don't say you need better jokes and then you make that clunky one right there. Okay.
But also to be like, oh, you don't need to test us. You failed the test. You know what I mean? Like, obviously you do need to test. You're like someone who hits another car in parallel parking. You know, like, there shouldn't even be testing. You're the reason that there's testing. You know what I mean? So then Jessel's like, excuse me, do not include me in this. I told my mother and that's it. And then we see her telling her mother, you know. And then Raquel's like, you told your mom? She's like, well, I thought she was getting pregnant, knocked up by some random. And I was like, I have to tell somebody.
And then we see that shot again of her mom going, what? So I love her mom. So now it's another day. So Bryn goes and meets Jessel at like a patio. They're wearing captain's hats. It's Fleet Week in New York City. So they've gone out to some bar to find sailors, I guess.
I want to bring a sailor. It's Fleet Week.
So Jessel and Bryn sit down to have this lunch. And they are just talking about sailors coming in. And this, of course, gives Bryn a chance to make all the most obvious jokes. Like,
I'm just, like, lost at sea with, like, no semen in sight. Just Jessel.
Well, I need someone to push my chair in, but I think I just have to do it myself. She's like, do you want to switch chairs? Do you want to switch chairs? You could use my face. Just kidding. So, pretend I'm Poppet. That's hilarious. So now they start talking about the third child thing, which... I don't know. Do I not believe it or do I just not care? I think
it's a combination.
Going this crazy over having a third child, you know? Aren't the first two painful enough, you know? Look at them, just over there knocking everything over everywhere they go.
Yeah. So, but she's talking about how Jessel says they've got a therapist from Mexico who's can really help us navigate. And, you know,
but then she goes, he's really cool because he's from Mexico. She's like, oh, wow. Yeah.
So then Jessel's like, well, as long as this day is shot, since no one was there to push in my chair, why don't you tell me about your love life? Who are you dating? And so Bryn Charles talks about like being in your late 30s, the pool of eligible men is much smaller. The good guys are all gone. They're all taken. And when she was in her 20s, it was much easier, but she's been freezing her egg. And she's kind of like, man, why did I take plan B so many times? Like, why did I take plan B when I had so many great options? I never should have done that.
She's like, I just feel like Carrie Bradshaw making the biggest mistake of her life, not marrying Aiden.
It's so sad that you're still comparing yourself to Carrie Bradshaw. Like, please. Also, I feel bad for this guy because she's talking about the billionaire Hugh Grant, you know, who's just like a goofy version, like Funhouse Mirror version of Hugh Grant. And I feel bad for him because she's just kind of using this dude. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
Someone's talking to me. I'm in.
I know.
Pretty girl talking to me, about 20 years my junior. I'm in. What do I need to do? You know?
Yeah. I mean, here's a hot take that this scene, when Bryn was talking about like freezing her eggs and how it's tough, I actually I liked this. I felt like this was actually a very honest thing that she was sharing, and like how it is tough and all that stuff. And I was like, this is the Brynn that I like. I like when she's just like being more real. And then all, but then it's like, so and so what we're going to do is we're going to have like a baby and we're going to borrow a baby for a day and like see how it is to love a baby. I was like, okay. And now we're back to like, you know, like silliness. It's not, this is actually not her fault, but like the show is like just let her, like, let her have her real moment. Why do we have to have a, like, a scene of, like, we're going to see what it's like to be parents for a day? I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm articulating myself right, but I just had a glimmer of feeling like there was something, you know, compelling about Brynn. And I was like, it became very quick to realize, oh, this is, like, at Fleet Week itself, it will be fleeting because we're going to go into, like, a fake scene of, like, child rearing.
Well, at least it wasn't a doll baby. Because that would have been worse. At least it was a real kid. I didn't even catch this because when the scene actually came up, I was like, who the fuck is that kid?
Why is there a child in my
head? Never really got it. I was like, why is there a kid here? Are they not going to talk about how the kid ended up here? Did it just happen to crawl up to the fifth floor and they're too afraid to let it crawl down by itself? Like, what happened?
Yeah. No, I mean, Brynn's like, yeah, like little, like my friend Laura is bringing over Luca and Giddy and I are going to test drive a 2-year-old to see if we could be co-parents. I guess what I'm trying to say is that like, I thought what Brynn was sharing was compelling
because
I felt
like sense. You were saying honest. Like she was being truthful, and then she resorted to a stupid hack, you know. And
then you realize, like, oh, this is just set up for like another classic sort of reality show scene of like, can we be parents? And I was like, oh, okay. Like it just went from being interesting to a groan.
Yeah.
So I say then, that often goes in that
she's
direction.
Like, Jessel's like, so do you just think that he's in love with the idea of you? And she's like, no, unfortunately, I think like he's actually into me, which is like so crazy. And she's like, why do you say that? What's wrong with you? By the way, there's no sailors here. Just don't answer because I really don't care. Does anybody, you're gay. Where are the sailors? And they're like, Chelsea, girl, where do you think they come? You think sailors are going to come out of here and get a mediocre blowjob? They're in fucking Hell's Kitchen. It's fucking Chelsea.
Yeah. So now Jenna's in her bathroom and she has a black eye from dodgeball. And she's like, huh. I'm like kind of into my black eye. It's like pretty cool. I think it's like extra spice. I like it.
But also, and then Brynn's strong, but she's also kind of a bitch. So,
and then Uba's on the phone with someone named Wendy, and she's like, hi, this is Uba. I've been stalking your Instagram with pictures and your picnics. I want to do a picnic with, I want to have a perfect picnic. And Uba's basically like, yeah, we're 35. We're not playing dodgeball for fun. We're going to have a fancy picnic instead.
So then Mel and Raquel go to like a sex museum. Isn't this a sex museum, or is this, there's a lot of like vagina, like this episode is like sex toys and what's the other one? It's like sex toy, freezing eggs and in vitro.
Reproductive elements. You know, this is like a real place. I feel like I walk by this place. I feel like it's on like Fifth Avenue or something like that. Something random, like near the Empire State Building. I just remember I was walking by there recently and I was in desperate need of like lunch. And I think I got a dildo. Grocery. I got a dildo. I went and I ate a dildo.
So they had the most. I adjusted that. It's like gum from the fifth grade.
They have an amazing cafeteria there. They have kale salads in the shape of penises. I don't know how they do it.
I'd love it's kale. Because it's just so like gross looking. You know, it's like, oh, geez, that's really veiny. That's kale.
They're like, it's actually supposed to represent body parts in the 70s. So there's a lot of kale. I'm a lunatic right now. I don't know what I'm talking about. So they're here. You know what? I'm sorry. This is the sex shop.
This is different. Throw right? myself the museum, down I think, upstairs. Is later. This is like a sex shop.
Now I know why you were saying what you were saying, because I got confused with the sex shop with the sex museum that they had on this episode.
Right. I'm just saying like every scene is something to do with either a sex store or, you know, sex paraphernalia or eggs or in vitro or something like that, you know, or trying out a baby or whatever.
Yeah.
That's on purpose. Maybe it's a theme. I don't know.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show, American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history, presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Pearlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Pearlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
So then Raquel's like, oh gosh, so what is this, a speakeasy sex shop? I mean, it's so New York. This is just so New York. And it's like in an office building, and they're like, wow, this is so wild. So basically, we find out that this is some, they're going to have a ball for their engagement party. And she means like the old, like, drag queen.
Like Paris is burning. I actually like right. this when she's like, she tells the person behind the counter, like, yeah, we're going to do like a ball for the theme. And she's like, you know, like with Pose. And the employee is like, yeah, so like not like Cinderella, more like, I was like, I love that. She was like, you don't have to explain to this person what a ball is. She knows. She starts doing the whole dance.
She knew like, long before Pose, ma'am. And then Raquel just trying to explain, like gay men things. She's like, ballroom, it's an underground dance culture started by young queer men of color. It's about being fierce, but most of all, it's about community and supportive environments, making us all feel loved. Those are values we treasured. I hope my mom comes.
Yeah. So the whole thing is that, you know, she has a fraught relationship with her mom these days. And she hopes that her mom is going to come to this engagement party that's also going to feature various, you know, ball gags and
whips. That just cracked me up. She's like, God, my mom's very, you know, she was progressive, but then she became really religious and conservative, and it just changed her. She got brainwashed. And I really hope she comes to this BDSM party I'm throwing. Because it would really hurt my feelings if she didn't.
So they're trying all sorts of stuff. I know. Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, so funny to me. This scene is so wild. And she's just such a self-serious person too, you know?
Yeah.
But like ultimately silly at the end of the day.
Yeah, I really like Raquel. And we've said this a million times. I think we both really like her. We're just not sure that she's really like... Like it for a Real Housewife. So then we go over to Erin and her mom, and they're at some like kids play experience thing called Genius Gems, and Jessel and her mom and Jessel's two little monster children come in and immediately start like knocking everything over and pushing people into garbage cans and like pulling all the fire alarms.
Genius Gems. I was like, wow, it's a diamond shop. Nope, it was just a place where you could either have intelligent children playing with blocks and putting them together, or terrible children just punching the blocks and knocking everything over.
Yes. Some are builders, some are knocker overs.
And
you can guess which one I was.
So yeah, you were probably writing about the builders. Like, these builders are terrible.
Terrible. I was probably builders. Organizing people like and one person at a time.
Started guys. Knocking them over. And here's what I'd like to say, parents. Do you not take care of your children in the gem store? Please take care of your children. Just blogging.
I'm like, here we go. The final piece in my representation of the I am pay pyramid in front of the Louvre. Oh my God. Who knocked over my pyramid?
So fun. Okay. So, yeah. So they're at that place. And then we see Brynn going to the Museum of Sex. So it's another sex shop scene. And she's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm coming home.
Yeah. It really goes exactly the way you'd expect it. And I think that the joke here is that we're going to cut back and forth between Jessel and Erin playing with their kids doing something wholesome, but the rest of the women are like grabbing dildos and like a glory hole reenactment.
Yeah. And so
it's funny.
So they're like, so Brynn, so it's Raquel, Brynn, and I think Psy comes and Uba. So, or is that a different scene?
No,
I don't know. No, yeah, it's the same scene. Okay. So then
it's the same compelling scene. Yes.
So they're like, so what do your orgasms feel like, Brynn? And she's like,
like my whole body. Yeah. No, I've had people tell me like, you're super hot, but like, you look fucking stupid when you come.
So then we, you know, there's a lot of sort of back and forth stuff that's really not that interesting. But eventually we land back at Genius Gems. If I have to say Genius Gems one more time, I swear to God. So Aaron is like, so what did you think about Dodgeball? And Jess is like, oh my God. She's like, yeah, you were freaking out. Guess what, Mom? We played another prank. It was Rebecca's idea to see, like, she was like pregnant and she's going to say like where she's pregnant and doesn't know who the father at is because she has like four kids. And Jess's mom is like, a one night stand for a joke? What?
And Jessica's like, well, I'm not trying to spread a rumor like that. And Aaron's like, yeah, of course. And Jessica's like, well, that's a serious accusation and definitely not about Rebecca Minkoff. And then Brynn walks in and says, and then I asked around and people are saying XYZ. And I was like, seriously?
I had no idea she was going to go and say she called around and found out that they're like freaking. And like, I don't think she wants to spread the rumor because she doesn't like Rebecca. I think she just likes to spread rumors and Rebecca's an easy target for her. So then we go back to the sex museum and Brynn is like, okay, everyone. So Jessel, Aaron and I go to lunch and then Aaron tells us whole story and like Jessel believed her, but like I didn't. And then like afterwards, Aaron and I had a drink and she told me that she was pregnant, but that the dude part was like a prank. And so like Aaron told me, and it was just like the fact that they didn't know the father was, it was the prank. And I'm like, okay, I'll be in on it. I was like, wow, Brynn is like, Brynn, you've been caught. You're caught and you're trying to wiggle your way out of it. That's what I thought at this point.
That's what I was thinking too. And I still don't really know what to think, except that I know that Aaron's also a goddamn liar. So it's not like I don't trust. It's not like I trust her either. But Brynn, yeah. So Brynn's saying she knew that the pregnancy thing was a prank. So she's going to add some sauce to it and tell everybody on purpose that Rebecca is being a slut. And this was the setup. So then we cut back and I was doing that mostly for myself to keep this off.
Yeah.
Say anything wrong. I'm just like trying to get it.
No, right. I can see. Sometimes it's a lot.
It's just too stupid. It's too many details for such a stupid plot. Okay. So then Jessel's like, wait, did she know? And Aaron's like, no, she wasn't in on it. And then she tells us in the typical shady Aaron way. She's like, I actually told Brynn after we got a drink, which I'm not doing with her anymore, by the way. And she was like, did she really fuck other guys? And I was like, eh. And that was me being like, eh, exactly like it was, which means I don't know, but no.
Why? No. How does that exonerate you or justify that? Like, you don't just tell people she is fucking other guys and got pregnant from another guy. Was she? Wait, she was sleeping with another guy? Yeah, I don't know. How do you say the inflammatory part on camera and then off camera be like, well, maybe it was a lie. And then you're going to go and start accusing Brynn of being like gossiping and lying and putting sizzle on it on camera and then having us all turn against Brynn. I mean, look, Brynn does a lot of things for us to turn against her. Brynn does a lot of work herself. But you can't do this whole season of like, Brynn goes and tells Jenna that I said this. She always puts her sizzle on things. That's what she does. And that's why I'm mad at Brynn. But you were actively putting a sizzle. You actually are setting up Brynn. And please don't make me advocate for Brynn here, but I'm kind of on Brynn's side about this.
I mean, I kind of am, but I just don't believe the whole thing, because then why didn't Brynn when this all happened and Rebecca and Aaron were like, haha, we got you guys. Why wasn't Brynn like, yeah, we got you guys. That was funny. She got defensive against Rebecca and was like, you need to come up with more jokes.
Well,
like
because
when they were telling her, why were you lying about stuff? Brynn didn't stand up for herself. She just got really defensive and started being mean. So
because she still was. Because she still was half pranked, because she thought one half of the prank, she knew one half of the prank was a prank, but she didn't know the other half of the prank was a prank. So she still got pranked. So she could either choose the I'm a pranker or I'm the pranky, and she chose I'm going to be the pranky.
God.
I have a chance to be indignant right now and to be upset at someone, so I'm going to choose that path. Okay. So then we go back to the sex museum, and Raquel is like, so everyone, this is so weird because we were on a double date and she told me she didn't know and that she was like trying to seek out a leaky pigeon. And then, you know, basically Brynn tells everyone like, yeah, like I thought this was a fun prank and everything and I knew about it. So she tells everyone that she knows and everyone's like, so this is kind of fucked up because basically she did this prank. And then she told you, but then she tells Raquel that you had no idea about it. So she's like, everyone was like lying to Raquel about Brynn's involvement in the prank.
To make it look like Brynn's just going around and making up horrible slut stories about.
Right. When Rebecca. Brynn thought she was just like making the prank more fun because she knew it was a prank. So she was, ultimately it was just like a prank on Jessel because Jessel was the only one who had no idea that it was a prank as usual.
Well, and Sai didn't know.
Oh yeah. Right? But yeah, Sai's involvement was for like 45 seconds, but Jessel actually had a dinner and then she went to a jewelry store with her mom and told her mom to her right. popular therapist in Mexico, you know, the whole thing.
So then Uba is saying, well, I was getting really uncomfortable and I think Brynn sensed it. And so she saved the day by telling me it was a prank. And then Brynn's like, but I did think she was pregnant when we were playing dodgeball. And Raquel's like, so you thought she was pregnant, but you thought she was pregnant with her husband's baby? And she's like, yeah. So then we go back to Aaron and Aaron's like, I mean, if someone told me they were pregnant early on and said, don't say anything, I would never say it. You know me.
You know what? Here's what we do. Here's what we definitely know about Erin. She's a terrible pranker. Like this is the second season in a row where her pranks have fallen so fucking flat. Last year was about the phone, and then she's like, "Why? It's a joke." And this year, I'm actually like angry at how bad she is of a prankster because she goes on. Rebecca's like, everyone says I'm boring, so I'm going to do a prank. And Erin's like, I'll do it with you. And then she basically fucks up Rebecca's prank for it. Let Rebecca have her prank. You ruined Rebecca Minkoff's prank.
Yeah. So Dorothy is like, well, people have to be able to trust you. And Aaron says, yeah, that was the moral of the story. So says the lady who just completely fucked somebody over during the prank. I mean, what the hell? So then Uba's like, you know, okay, listen, I'm thinking I could be wrong, but I think the reason she told you it was a prank was because she wants you to do it and then go around to everyone else and say, look, who's the leaky pigeon? Because if she didn't tell you it's a prank, then you would not have said it. And I was so glad that it was taking Uba a minute to piece it together because I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of getting it now because I didn't really get it. I still thought Brynn was lying at this point. So then Uba is like, well, why didn't Aaron come and tell me the story? Because why didn't she tell me? Because she knows I wouldn't tell anybody. So she found someone who does exactly what she wants, which is fly away with the message, which is so true. And Aaron and Brynn do this with each other. They probably get together and are like, let's do this storyline and let's do this and then we'll fight over this.
Yeah. And Sai is actually the one who has some sense. And she's like, you know what? It's safe to say that Erin already failed her own test. She leaked this prank to Raquel. She leaked this prank to Brynn. And out of all the women in this group, Erin is the last person who needs to be testing people on who is a leaky pigeon. And what the fuck is a leaky pigeon in the first place? It's disgusting.
Get the pigeon a diaper. Put it down. I'm sick of it.
If we've got leaky pigeons in New York, like something tells me there could be a public health issue going on.
So Raquel's like, she wanted to believe that you're a leaky pigeon and that you're like this terrible person that would go out and tell us these things because she told me that you and Jessel bought it hook, line, and sinker. I feel like Erin manipulated the situation. She left out Brynn was going to be a part of it. So the minute Brynn started speaking, I was like, holy shit, Brynn's a pigeon. This is fucked up.
This is the most convoluted, uninteresting storyline. It's so hilarious. And yet I can't keep saying it's uninteresting because the way that I am actually shouting into the microphone,
it's getting more interesting for sure.
No, for sure. Like I have to say, I was with everyone else. I was really upset with the prank last week, but actually seeing what it's actually revealing is surprisingly, I'm in for it's surprisingly interesting. I'm okay with this.
Here's something really fucked up. Okay, they put this on right after Beverly Hills, right? Which Beverly Hills is their highest rated show. And it's not that I'm actively rooting against New York, but this was the highest ratings of the season. They got 0.406 million viewers. So that's 400,000 people, which, you know, isn't great. But for them, it's good. I mean, they've been around 300,000. So this stupid plot line in the network's mind, because all they do is look at these ratings, is like, ah, see, it's good now. We fixed it with that stupid prank storyline.
Yeah, because I think that the show is now going into like big hate watch territory, where people are like, I'm so mad about that prank. I just want to watch it again and get mad about something else. So now they're talking about this. But it is kind of fucked up what Aaron did, because Aaron is framing, you know, Brynn in this situation. So then ultimately they're all upset. And then Uba's like, okay, but I have to go to a picnic. Goodbye, everyone. And then she like slides down a blowjob. There's like a mouth. It's like, yeah, now you can know what it's like to be semen during a blowjob. And you're just like, and she's like, woo! And then she's like screaming for a while. She's like, woo!
It just keeps going. And then you just hear her crash.
She like winds up on the 6 train.
Then we go to Jesselyn Pavitt, and he's bringing bowls of snacks to the table. It's like, what is this? A freaking fiesta? This is supposed to be therapy. Why don't you just get a Corona? And he's like, we should have tacos. We're talking to someone in Mexico.
She's like, I'm not eating on this call. And he's like, we're just going to have some chips and salsa, which, by the way, it's not appropriate to be snacking while you're talking to a therapist. So
I'm a foodie now.
Jess is like, okay. Hi, Joe. Thank you for your patience with us. So they're talking to this therapist about this whole thing and talking about how Pavitt is always defers to, it's time to say certain hard truths, which is, you know, we all love Pavitt last season because Pavitt's Pavitt and does his little food things. It's so amusing. I think he's like a little too aware of how much we all loved him, and he's trying to like lean into this character. And I think what's happening is he's just being a dick, because like, you're in therapy right now and like you have a professional on the phone, you're eating chips and salsa, and everything is always like a little joke, like the wink wink. It's like, okay, we get it, Pavitt. Just let us love you the way we loved you last season.
I think sometimes people are just like that, you know? And then you're married to Jessel, who's constantly just going and going until she gets what she wants. It's like, do you want children? Nope. Do you want him now? Nope. Do you want him now? Nope. Can I have another kid? Nope. I'm going to get a therapist. Okay. Therapist, you tell him, do you want a kid? Nope, I still don't. Why don't you want a kid? I told you I don't. And then the therapist is like, why don't you want a kid? Shouldn't you all want kids to have a kid? But then it turns out the Pavitt kind of does want a kid, because then he admits that he was 99% against kids, but that 1%'s there. And then the doctor's like, oh, great. So there's 1%. And he's like, yeah, so maybe we can have another kid. I was like, oh, God. So this is just your game. You just say no multiple times until someone talks you into it. That kid's going to feel very, very lucky when they watch this later.
Yeah. Also, Jessel, beware of a passive-aggressive chip, because we saw it happen with Shannon Bedore, and the fact that they're doing this therapy, and she's like, you know, we're just so busy with kids and with work, and
you're right, it's actually.
Just like, sometimes you sort of forget.
Yeah.
Just, I'm sorry, Pavitt's having a salsa party in honor of you being in Mexico City. She literally said that. That sounds like something we would say. She said it. Fried Chicken Committee funny. Having a fiesta today. Congratulations. You just learned about Mezcal, courtesy of Erin.
Yeah. So then Pavitt's like, well, if I had to bet money, will we have a baby girl next year? I don't bet money, but I will bet a flauta. We'll see.
So but by the way, also, his reasoning for not having a third child is not because, like,
this is good, actually.
Yeah, he's not like, oh, hey, you know, I only want to have 2 children. It's like a lot of work. But he's like, no, when we travel, right now we're 4 people. That's 1 hotel room. 3 kids. Now you're at 5. That's 2 hotel rooms. That's expensive. I was like, okay.
Miles worked differently. Literally said miles work differently with 5. He does. So that's why I don't think he's even leaning into it. I think that's just who he is.
You know? And it's like, it's one thing to say, look, we just don't have the resources to support 3 children, and we don't have the room, or we don't have the bandwidth, whatever. But he's like, no, my miles. No, I don't think we can do it.
He's more worried about the miles. All right, so now we get the Brynn trying out a 2-year-old. So Luca comes over. You can't. Oh, no. Luca's a toddler. Yeah. And so what's the other guy's name? I forget. Gideon comes over.
Gideon.
Yeah. And so Brynn's like, oh, my God. Can we hide from Gideon? Hey, Brynn, you can't see us. You can't see us. We're hiding.
I will say, I mean, Brynn is really good with kids.
I like she acts really, just like one. She talks to them. She was already talking to them in the kid voice. Like,
do you want to pretend we're hiding? Wink, wink.
So he comes over and he's like, oh, I thought we were doing a wine tasting today, but we're babysitting. That's so fun. So glad I canceled my return trip to London for this. Okay, let me pour open. Let me pour some of this $1,000 Dom Perignon that Heather Dubrow gave me. I'm going to pour it in my glass. And, oh, you put your Tonka truck in it. Thank you. Oh, your Hot Wheels. That's, I love that in my expensive champagne. So lovely. Glad I came over today. Thank you so much.
Well, I haven't talked to Gideon much about whether or not he wants kids, but he didn't when we were together. He just didn't want them. He said, if you want to, we will. But he's like, I'm good without kids because he likes his life, you know, but he's never going to be like gung-ho on the kid thing. But he's really rich, so I'm going to have a kid with him. So
I was just like thinking, like, maybe like I've got some eggs and like maybe we could like co-parent, like something.
And he's like, I would love that because I'm on television. Let me just think about how I will tell my mother, and let me just imagine it. Okay, and yes, it will be awful. Great. Got it. Yeah, can't wait to do this.
God, it's fucking...
I don't think he's... He says that he'd be down to do it, but I don't think he is. I think he's on camera.
It's just such a desperate ploy. It's like, okay, I dumped you, not going to date you anymore, but you are still rich, so I'd love you to be the father of my children. You want to? It's so offensive. I mean, this guy's just such a goofball. He's like, ooh, maybe I have a chance still. And please trim your chest if you're going to do your open shirt like that, Gideon. You seem like a fairly nice person, but you're sad. It was a lot today. You're sad.
It was a lot. There's a lot of hair going on.
We just needed that one Gideon scene of sitting in that fancy car. And then he's like, he's the one that got away. And then he never calls back. You know, it's like you had your chance. I'm a billionaire. Goodbye. But this whole like still showing up and like, I don't know. I feel bad for Gideon. What's wrong with Gideon?
I don't know. It looks like he went through something since last season. I feel like he's like 10 years older. His hair is big and poofy.
A drying cycle. He looks like he was left in the dryer for too long.
I know. I was like, oh God, someone check in on Gideon. So now we go to a picnic in Central Park. This is Uba. Uba's picnic, the perfect picnic, because Wendy, the party planner, was like, I've got a great idea for you. We're going to make you the perfect picnic. So here it is. The perfect picnic has arrived. And there are tons and tons of little pigeons that don't appear to be leaking, which is great.
Yeah, pigeons are the theme of the season. So then they have little wooden pigeons. And then Uba's like, oh my God, I've decided to invite these girls to show them how to be classy. So, you know, this is New York. So everybody arrives and it's 5 minutes of,
oh my God, you look amazing. What are you wearing?
Oh my God, you look so pretty.
Oh my God, you are so wearing clothes right now.
Oh my God, everybody looks like they're wearing clothes right now.
Are you wearing clothes? Oh my God, you're wearing so many clothes.
What are you wearing?
So Brynn is like,
yeah, I was like talking to my brother last night and I was telling him that like I made up with you, Si. He's like, good, I love Si.
So Si and Brynn are just like fine now, which I don't know where that happened, because I thought that they were like had like a fake peace or a fake truce, but apparently it's a truce now, so that's resolved, I guess. So Si's like,
yeah, so like I was thinking about that prank and I was like, that's fucking shady. Like when we got home that day from dodgeball, this is like me talking about Rebecca. Like I was like, hey, that lie was awesome. I was so stressed out. And then she wrote back, hee hee hee.
Which by the way is funny because Rebecca would totally write back, hee 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 hee. She goes, yeah. You know, that's all she writes. It's like, hey, Becky. So we need to know, like, for Q4, what are your intentions for the line? Okay, we need you to answer, Becky. Okay, seriously, emoji.
So she's like, I said, Brynn knew about the prank, right? And she said, no, she didn't. Only Raquel. And Brynn's like, so Aaron literally just sat there and told her that Brynn didn't know. And she's like, she set you up. Uba says that. And so Uba's like, we should take all these pigeons and just leave one in the table. And Bryn's like, it's frustrating dealing with Erin when she doesn't remember the shit she does. She forgets she told me about Sai. She forgets saying Jenna's broke. Now I just don't really understand what she's doing or she's trying to do or like what, it's just nothing adds up. You're both compulsive liars and you're getting caught on it and trying to point fingers at each other and start plots that are stupid. Both of you just get lives. Just lead lives that we want to watch, please.
So Jenna walks up and Bryn is like,
okay, fun news. I got set up. Not on a hot date, but with a hot guy. Erin set me up.
And she's like, what do you mean? Is anyone going to ask me about my black eye, by the way? And Uba's like, there's a difference between set up and framed. And she got framed.
So she tells her the story. When Erin told me about the prank, we were at lunch. And after that lunch, Erin and I went and had a drink. And I was like, dude, no way. And she's like, no, it's not true. And she said, Erin told me that she's pregnant. Of course, it's Gavin's, but she wanted to do this prank on everyone. So I was like, oh my God, let me in on the prank. And that's why at Dodgeball, I was like, hey, hoes. And I'm winking and making all the jokes and being like, should we take a pregnancy test?
Jenna's like, are you fucking kidding me? And Bryn's like, yeah, it's just like crazy. Like, why would you just be like, oh, no, dude, she knew. And Jenna's like, of course, I'm an Erin. What the fuck? And Uba's like, so if they couldn't find a pigeon, then we would be looking for the pigeon, right? But she's the pigeon.
Pigeon, 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 everywhere pigeon.
And then in walks Erin, not realizing that everyone's talking about her. And then we got the mid-season trailer, which looked all right. Well, the mid-season trailer looked like, it looked like nothing interesting happens until apparently the last night of Puerto Rico. So who knows when that's going to be. But that's when the big fight happens that we hope is a fight and not another prank.
Yeah. So we'll see on episode, I guess, 16. Did they get a 16-episode season?
Oh, God. What please are you make it a 12-episode season? Please, 12 God, episodes.
What are you guys doing over there? All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Probably one of our shortest recaps of all time. But it was still fun. I had a good time doing it. Hope you had fun listening to it. We will talk to you tomorrow for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.